All right, my friends, let's take a look and turn in your scriptures to Amos chapter 3, would you please? Amos chapter 3. We've been in a series on the moving of the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit. This morning, what I would like to do is a bit different compared to how I've been going in the last couple of weeks. Last couple of times that I've spoken, I talked about the place of apostles, discernment. We talked all about that. We've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and we're in a conversation actually together on the fivefold ministry or the ascension gift ministries. When you see Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, verses 11 through 13 specifically, you find the fivefold ministry identified. As Jesus ascended on high, he sent gifts. And those gifts, obviously, are men and women of the Lord to the body of Christ. And the Bible calls them the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We believe, indeed, the gifts of the Spirit are for today. How many believe that? Amen. Gifts of the Spirit are for today. We are biblical continuationists. We are not cessationists. We're seeking God for revival. We're asking God to move in a fresh move of His Spirit. And we want to respond to Him. We want the river of God. Someone say amen. Amen. We want the river of God. I want to begin with some initial thoughts today about the ministry of the prophet. About the prophet. And as we take a look at our country, and it's specifically important because as you look in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke to nations. In the New Testament, they did as well, but they also specifically ministered within the function of the church. But prophets still speak to nations. Our country needs and has needs the economy, the value of the dollar, housing, medical. There are so many people on every sides of every issue. But let me tell you what our country really needs. Our country needs the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before. And our country needs some prophets to stand up and declare the word of the Lord in the corridors of Congress and elsewhere, the marketplace, to stand up and say, this is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. Our country needs to respond. God help us as a nation. I'm not here to become political. I'm here to help call a nation back to God. But God is moving. Turn to each other and say, you know that God's moving, don't you? God is moving. And I'm going to share some tangible evidence about that this morning. We are on the timetable of the last of some of the last days. Things are moving into place that are literally unimaginable 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. Lord God, help us to be a people who sit up and pay attention to what you're doing because God is on the move. And there's some exciting things to talk about this morning. These are exciting days. But let me tell you the name of the message. And it's true for each one of us. It's a time. It is time to be right with God. Amen. Say it with me, would you please? It's time to be right with God. God wants to talk today to people who will listen. We read the Word of God and we stay in the Word of God daily. We read, we study, we take a look at the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say so God can speak to us. And we want to have a heart that responds to Him and stay in His Word daily. And we're looking for Him to lead us and prompt us by His Spirit. Last week we talked about the red flags that fly when you discern that something's wrong. You ever get that inside your spirit where you know you shouldn't be doing something or don't go do this or watch out for that? You see a red flag or feel something wrong in your spirit, and lots of times we call that conscience, but God is good, and He'll guide us and lead us by His Spirit. So we want to listen to His heart, right? Amen. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. If you'll see that out of your own Bible, we'll also have it up on the projector. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. If you don't have a set of scriptures and you would like to have one, they are available in the back of the room, and you're most welcome to ask somebody next to you to go run and get you a Bible. So you can see it out of the scripture. I'll read from the New King James primarily, but I've got some other translations this morning to help us see the meaning of the text as well. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Read it with me, would you please? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to his servants, the prophets. Powerful set of scripture. God wants to talk to us. Are we listening? I said God wants to talk to us. Are we listening? God wants to unveil his heart. How many in this room have buddies? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Yeah, you got any buddies?
Yeah.
Do you talk to your buddies?
Yeah.
Do you tell your buddies secrets?
Yeah.
I'd like you to share some of those this morning. No. No, but you've got some things that probably most of the people in the room don't know about, but your buddies do. Your closest friends do. And the prophets hold to the heart of God, and God says, I've got to do something, and I've got to tell you about it. There's a calling. There's a place. It's an important place to hear the heart of God. And we're not going to even get into the depth of this morning, but that's why oftentimes you'll see prophets or prophets that you've known with that gifting inside. Their personalities are a little bit different. They look off into the distance at times. They see something, or they'll describe what they're seeing, or they're hearing the heart of God, and everything's going casual down the road into sin and apathy, and the prophets are over here stirring things up because they're saying, no, that's not the heart of God. And people look at them and say, why can't you just join in like the rest of us? What's wrong with you? But they've got the heart of God on many issues. Do you realize that in the New Testament, only one of those fivefold ministries does the Bible say, receive that person in the spirit of the prophet, and you'll receive the reward of the prophet. It doesn't say that about the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. Now, we receive all five working together because God has a goal in the body of Christ. But the place of prophets are absolutely crucial, vital, and important in the body of Christ. And God's giving his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Watch it out of the Message version. The fact is, God the Master does nothing without first telling his prophets the whole story. Now, we see prophets ministering throughout the Old Testament to Israel. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and we see Daniel and Ezekiel, and we see so many others. How many have been reading Ezekiel lately? How would you have liked to have Jeremiah or Ezekiel's ministry? I want you to go lay on your side for 290 days in a row, and I want you to gather your food together, and oh yeah, I want you to cook it over human dung. And at that point, the prophet said, whoa, whoa, whoa! I am not going to do that! I mean, can you read between the lines? Can you imagine? How would you feel? God saying, now listen, this is what I want you to do. Would you just casually say, oh, yes, sir? I think if you got that kind of close relationship with God, it would be, excuse me? And the Lord said, oh, okay. You wonder why that's in there. If God's just testing his heart, kind of getting that relationship. I don't know. Anyway, God says, okay, I'll relent from that and let you cook your food over cow dung. But the point was, that's a lot better. See if there aren't a few people who will assist me in the ministry by going out and collecting, you know. Anyway, the point is God was pointing out a picture to Israel of how he was dealing with them. Their ministries weren't easy. And there's in the New Testament, you come to Agabus, who came and tied a cloth around Paul, if you recall, and said, you're going to Jerusalem, and they're going to do this to you. They're going to bind you up. And remember, there were the four prophet daughters of Philip, the evangelist. Now, there's a difference, biblically, we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, between those who prophesy in the body and prophets. The Bible says ye all may prophesy one by one. That doesn't mean that is the calling of a prophet, but that's for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the body of Christ. There's a difference in that ministry. But I want to talk for a moment about prophets, some of what they said. One of the things to understand as you look in the Old Testament is, as they obeyed God, they didn't always understand what they were saying. How many of you think that Isaiah knew fully who Cyrus was when he prophesied about him 150 years before he was on the scene? Cyrus, the king, is going to set up your nation again in Jerusalem. He's just being obedient. How many of you would like to have had Daniel's ministry? How many perfectly understand the book of Daniel? Let's see the show of hands. I thought I was in the right group. My hand's down too. Daniel and the book of Revelation. And there were things that the prophets didn't understand. But they recorded faithfully and wrote down faithfully the things that God had to say. And what's the timetable? And Lord, what are you trying to do? And in fact, there's a great verse. We're going to look at it together this morning where Daniel basically says, you know, I got to get this and this and this, but this over here, what are you talking about, God? And God basically says, Daniel, Dan, don't worry about it. It's set up. It's sealed till the end of time. And we're seeing that we're in the end of time. Hold on this morning. Look what God is doing. Look what God is doing. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Read it with me, please. Behold, the former things have come to pass and new things. I'm sorry, what does that say? New things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Read it with me, please. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a boom it out, new thing. What is it? A new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You go to Israel today, you find rivers in the desert and blooming fields out in the wilderness place. Do you think the prophet knew all that? What was God talking about? But he saw ahead of time. Isaiah chapter 48, verses 6 through 8. You've heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I've made you hear, what is it? New things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They're created now, not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear, surely you did not know. God is saying, I'm doing something new. Turn to each other and say, God's up to something new. We're living in an exciting hour, and you and I literally have the privilege of living in this hour where God is unfolding His purposes in lightning, lightning speed. You can barely catch your breath to watch the prophetic words of the Scriptures unfold. The body of Christ has been experiencing restoration for hundreds of years. When the revelation of salvation by grace through faith came, that was radical in its day, and there was persecution for Luther and the Reformers. And then the Anabaptists saw the revelation of water baptism by immersion. They suffered terrible persecution, but God restored the revelation through the church and to the church. Then comes so many other things, building restoration one upon the other, and comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the gifts and graces of God in the 20th century, the early 20th century, 1902, 1907, the Azusa Street outpouring, revival birthed around the world, the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism in the Spirit, and people would come in from all around the world. It was a lot more effort in that day. Come in from all around the world, receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, go around the world back to their churches, and revival birthed around the world. 1948, latter rain pouring comes, and it's not the Latter-day Saints, that's a different thing, but the latter rain is poured out. The Bible says, I'll pour out my Spirit as the former rain and the latter rain. Miracles, the moving of God and healing evangelists come springing up after that took place. And then you have 1968 and the charismatic outpouring literally spread through the world like a fire as God was restoring and moving and doing. We saw the teacher ministry, a powerful ministry in the 70s of the teaching mantle restored in the body of Christ. In the 1980s, we saw a powerful fresh move of the prophet's mantle. The late 80s and 90s, we saw powerful things begin to happen as apostles began to rise up and take their place in the body of Christ. Folks, I am here to tell you it is time to be right with God. Watch the Scripture, Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. Interesting, God kind of said that this morning to us, didn't He? For all these things must come to pass, say it with me, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are, say it with me please, the beginning of sorrows. The New American Standard Bible says, say it with me please, the beginning of birth pains. the beginning of birth pangs. Now, you have people all the time saying, now, come on, Pastor Kevin. This is all, everything that's been happening, it's all been happening for eons, generations, hundreds of years. Same thing's happening, as always before, wars and rumors of wars. But the Bible doesn't say it's necessarily going to be a brand new thing that happens. It says like birth pangs, ladies, birth pangs. As you get ready to birth, don't they increase in frequency? Come on, ladies, you should be out there saying, yes, amen, they do. Don't they increase in intensity? Frequency. Intensity. Frequency and intensity. Just even in the last year, more earthquakes, stronger earthquakes than ever before. Wars more frequent and more horrible in their devastation to humans than ever before. That truly happened in the 20th century. Watch this. Daniel, please. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, New American Standard. As for me, Daniel is saying, I heard but could not understand. So I said, isn't this fantastic? I love the conversation with God. Isn't that how we're supposed to be with our God? Intimate conversation. God says, Daniel, I'm going to do this and this and this. He gives him these crazy, wild pictures. Nobody had ever seen these visions before. And Daniel's going, oh, okay. But Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And he said, go your way, Dan, for these words are concealed. Sealed up until the, say it with me, end time. Watch it out of the message. This is just great. Now, the message is not your study text. Remember, your King James, your New American Standard, you do your study out of a more foundational text. But there are those paraphrases that have been written to help illuminate, help bring out something that we didn't understand before. And the message is that same way. So when we bring the message, it's not our primary foundational understanding text. It's an illumination text. And you usually find this man, Eugene Peterson, is very faithful to the Greek and to the Hebrew. All right? Message. Look at that verse. And this is great. I heard all this plainly enough, but I didn't understand it. So I asked, Master, can you explain this to me? Go on about your business, Daniel, he said. Watch. The message is confidential and under lock and key until the end. Now watch this. Until things are about to be wrapped up. Daniel was a faithful prophet of God, writing and speaking what God had given him. He saw the succeeding Gentile empires and leading to the establishment of the Roman Empire as you take a look at his text. But he didn't understand the end times. And Daniel wrestled with the words of God like we wrestle with the words of God. And God says, don't worry, Daniel. There's a time for them. And so, like the men who established and began the work of the cathedrals, that the work lasted far beyond their lifetimes. Daniel didn't have a chance to see that word fulfilled, but here we are in our day. And God calls that day the end time. Daniel 12, verse 10. Those who have insight will understand. The first part of that scripture is says this, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. None of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. That Hebrew word for insight is sakal. Can you say it with me? Sakal. And it means those who are circumspect, who are intelligent in the Lord. Those who are, basically, if you want to understand it, studying the Word of God, staying in the Word of God, searching out these things, God will give understanding. And God says He'll give us some new understanding. The end time prophecies, many of them, are only now, now, turn to each other and say, now, beginning to be understood. I want to just go through a few things with you, and I'm going to assume most of you are Bible studiers and Bible readers, and you're aware of these things. I'm not going to go into super in-depth on any of these, but let's talk about what are some of the things that we're starting to understand. When you go to the book of Revelation, the only way to understand the book of Revelation is to understand that there was something written in a day that was probably about 95 A.D., okay, the Apostle John was an old man by this time. Most scholars agree that the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the way, through John the Apostle, was written in about 95 A.D. Now, that's some years after what? The destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred in 70 A.D. All right, Rome destroyed Jerusalem. Why is that important? Because you go to the book of Revelation and you see the writings all about this terrible sheer numbers of casualties and devastation. It was literally unthinkable. And for generations, people said it was a copier's errors. The numbers that are in there are a copier's error. Surely they were an error and John couldn't have said it that way. And then you look in Luke 21, verse 26, and you see that the end times are characterized by men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I want to say something very simple to you. You take a look at the casualty lists in the book of Revelation, and you find that probably only in this hour could those kind of numbers ever even come close to being fulfilled? Tell me what happened in 1945, July 16. The first atomic bomb was exploded in New Mexico. In 1952, the first hydrogen bomb was exploded. The carnage that's found in the book of Revelation can be fulfilled in this hour, and there's not one other hour in history to date where it could be fulfilled. Interesting. Let's move on. The 200 million person army. What was that? The Apostle John, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 16, talks about the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. Now, I want you to track with me for a moment. This is a 200 million person army marching from the east toward Israel. At the time that John the Apostle wrote, 95 A.D., demographers indicate there was probably only... Oh, it's not there yet. I'm sorry. Put it back up. Thank you. It was probably only about 200 people on earth at that time. That prophecy made absolutely no sense. It took 1,650 years for the population to double to how much? At the beginning of the 20th century, population was only 1.6 billion. At the beginning of the last century. Now we've had exponential growth. Do you realize it's now 6.7 billion just in the last 100 years? Now, China, which is to the east, by themselves could develop a 200 million person army. Pastor Kev, what are you saying? I'm just saying, look what God is doing. Some things begin to come into focus that were never able to come into focus previously. Will it happen that way? I don't know. But we're living in a day where it could. And in no other generation could it before. Let's talk about the two witnesses. Two witnesses in the book of Revelation chapter 11. The Bible says they preached during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Then the Antichrist, the scripture says, will kill them. Their dead bodies are in the streets, if you recall, for 3.5 days. And the Bible says all the people of the world can see them. Church, prior to 1957, that was absolutely an impossibility. But in 1957, October 4th to be specific, the Russians sent the first satellite up in orbit called the Sputnik. And 52 years later, our globe is absolutely encircled by man-made satellites making instantaneous communication possible. How many realize what happened just in the latest uprising? How about in Iran? the latest uprising. They were forbidden to communicate about it. But what did they have? These little devices called cell phones that ended up on YouTube. And instantaneously, people could know what was going on. Let's talk about the nation of Israel. Are you hanging in there this morning?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, church. I think it's a time to be ready with God. I said, I think it's a time to be ready with God, and it's a time to be right with God. The nation of Israel. The book of Revelation makes it clear that Satan motivates and empowers the Antichrist to annihilate the Jewish state and its nation. At the time Revelation was written, again, most scholars agree that Jerusalem had been literally destroyed and Israel had been overrun by the Romans and the Jews were being scattered and relocated throughout the earth. No one had any perspective or prospect that Israel would ever be restored. If prophetic scholars tried to point out Israel's going to come into their own again as a nation, they were laughed at as dreamers. But we don't know anything about that kind of pressure that was on them because we live after the date of May 14th, 1948, when in a day, as the Bible says, Israel was restored and rebirthed and came into existence as a nation for the first time in 2,000 years. The people that talked about this happening prior to that date, dreamers, stupid. It'll never happen. And it happened. End-time prophecies show that the Lord returns when the Jews are back in the land. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 37, and when they're back in Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 12, and Luke 21 verse 24, Jesus indicates that end-time events would take place when Jerusalem is no longer under Gentile control. How many know when that happened? June 7, 1967. Jerusalem was no longer under Gentile control after that war. How about the image of the beast? Revelation chapter 13 talks about the false prophets, the Antichrist, the religious leader who will make an image of the Antichrist to appear, to come alive and speak. Now I know I don't normally spend time talking about these things. I spend time talking about walk talk every day from the Scripture, and that's what I usually try to bring to you on Sunday morning. May I be honest enough with you to tell you I probably put 15 to 20 hours into this message, and at 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord made me take a whole heart, pages and pages out of my notes, and He brought me back to what He had first spoken to me about to bring. There is a reason why this is important, and the only reason I can tell you is it's because God wants us to understand the signs of the times and to be right with Him. Someone say amen. If I was just getting sermons on a disc or I could read it on a newspaper, I could stand up here and go home at the end of the day and have pizza or do whatever and it wouldn't trouble me. This troubles me.
Amen.
I'll tell you what troubles me. It's not, and trouble may be the wrong word, but when the Lord's stirring up the waters, I got to jump into the waters where He is. I want to be where God's moving. I want to flow where God's flowing. I want the wind to blow through me, the wind of the Spirit. And I want us to be ready and to feed from the Word of God. So I recognize this is a little different than what we normally talk about. But church, can you understand, even just so far, these things couldn't have been fulfilled 50 years ago. Nobody knew what these things meant. And all of a sudden, we talk 50, 60 years ago, and these things come into focus, and it's our hour, it's our generation that sees them. God, what are you doing? It's not by accident. The image of the beast. The Antichrist. It'll amaze most of the world's population when they see this, and they'll cause many of them, the Bible says, to give allegiance to the Antichrist. Many have suggested that Satan will empower the false prophet to give the image life. How many realize the Bible says Satan is a liar and a deceiver?
Yeah.
He doesn't have power to infuse life into anything. What he does do is bring death. But let's talk about, now don't laugh at me, just talk about a couple of technology advances. I was reading a story in preparation for the message of a guy who took his family to Disneyland in 1967. 42 years ago, okay? Took his family to Disneyland and they went into one of these museums, set up like a museum, and Abraham Lincoln got up and came out under lights and delivered the Gettysburg Address. Anybody ever see that? Yeah, so some of you have seen that. And somebody turned to him and turned to this guy and said afterwards, wasn't that an incredible actor? It was no actor, it was a robot. Robotics have developed so much further in 42 years since then, but that was so realistic they thought it was a real robot. But let me talk about one other thing that happened 2 years ago. How many remember 2 years ago when the president of Texas University, I believe it was, the governor of Texas, appeared at a technology conference being held at the University of Texas in Dallas? But actually, it was a three-dimensional hologram that was projected from his office in Austin, Texas. Now, what the Bible says is there's an image of the beast, and it seems miraculous persuading people to give their allegiance to him. Can you see that technology may indeed show us how some of this is fulfilled? You can look at me all day long and say, come on, Pastor Kev, I'm just telling you, we're living in a day where these kinds of things can be fulfilled. And 10 years ago, it couldn't. 15 years ago, it couldn't. 25 years ago. The mark of the beast, we've talked about it before. The mark of the beast. Now, you know, the number of the beast in your hand and your forehead, they're doing it all over the place now. They're doing numbers, your social security numbers. Is that the number of the beast? I don't know. But the Bible says you can't buy or sell if you haven't done that. And it's pretty wild, isn't it? I'm just saying. Look at each other and say, he's just saying. Okay. When the 20th century began, now what I want you to do is just get some of these. This is really interesting. When the 20th century began, the vast majority of people were still traveling the same way, oh, it's already up there, on foot and on horseback, the way they had done for generations. Today, you've got automobiles and bullet trains, supersonic airplanes and spacecraft, all developed in 80 years. Now, put on your thinking cap and look back over thousands of years, and all of this that we see as common, no big deal, has happened in the last 80 years. Years. Technology. The knowledge for technology is doubling every 2 years. One edition of the Sunday New York Times has more information than the average person in the 19th century was exposed to in an entire lifetime. The web connects you instantly, immediately to ports and places and information around the world. In the 19th century, it would have taken literally months for the Mumbai terrorist attack in India, that news, to reach us. Months in the 19th century. During the first half of the 20th century, it would have taken weeks or at least several days. Today, how long does it take? It's instant. It's instant. Just do this next one section, little bit by little bit. Consider the years that it took to reach 50 million people for these technologies. Technology, radio, took them 38 years to get an audience of 50 million. TV, 13 years. Internet, 4 years. iPod, how many have an iPod? Okay, a few of you. 3 years, look at this. Facebook, took them 2 years to reach 50 million. Now, that's just interesting. Let me complete this message by giving you a whole lot of hope. And the whole point is this. We're living in an hour where God is doing something. You can look at me and say, I don't believe. Fine. No problem. But I think we could stand here and be blind to some things that God clearly is doing. Look what God is doing. Lift up your vision and see there are fulfillments happening today that could never have happened before. And Daniel was told by God, hang on, buddy, it's all right. It's going to be unveiled in the end days. Amen. And some of this is being unveiled as never before. But listen to the good things that God is doing. The nation of Israel was reestablished in May of 1948. Billy Graham's ministry skyrocketed and exploded 1 year later, resulting in the gospel being preached to more people than ever before in history. How many are grateful for Brother Billy? I am. I am. You know, you watch those crusades, and every time they sang Just As I Am, man, I was in my living room getting saved all over again. What a faithful man. What a great forerunner and a father of the faith for us. Pentecostal charismatic movements spring out and huge explosive growth around the world. The emphasis on the Spirit of God and the importance of worship. Davidic worship springs up and the tabernacle of David, the Bible says, is being built again according to Amos 9 verse 11 and Acts 15 verse 16. God says, I will restore and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And in 1980s, the International Christian Assembly was established in Jerusalem that started a yearly celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And since that time, thousands of people, of Christians, have come from around the world, been introduced to Davidic worship from the Bible, and carried the vision and heartbeat to their churches. God is still on the move. Turn to each other and say, God is on the move. World evangelism has exploded. Watch this. Watch this. 70% of all missions work done by the church in its 2,000-year history has been accomplished since 1900. Watch. 70% of that work has been done since 1948. 70% of that work has been done in the last. We sometimes get overwhelmed thinking we're drowning as a church when you need to know that God's church is alive and well, God is alive and well, and He is moving by His Spirit. Lift your vision high. The proclamation, what that tells you is the proclamation of the gospel is on an exponential curve. Thanks to technology, radio, TVs, movies, satellite, and the internet. Did you know that in April 1996, maybe some of you heard about it, we didn't think much about it. April 1996, Billy Graham preached a sermon that was broadcast to 200 countries in 40 different languages. They estimate 2.5 billion people either heard or saw his message that day. Boy, there's a little pressure on you. You better come through as a good preacher that day, huh? How many in church? Oh, 2.5 billion. For follow-up to that, they distributed 445 million pieces of literature in over 100 different languages. God is doing more than we think or know. The Jesus film was created by Campus Crusade for Christ in 1979. It has been shown to over 6 billion people. Based on the Gospel of Luke, the film has been translated into over 1,000 languages. And there are teams of people showing it in every country around the face of the earth almost every moment that we speak. The 1040 Window Project, you may have heard about that in the last 15 years, focused prayer for evangelism in the countries of Asia and Africa, 10 degrees latitude north of the equator to 40 degrees latitude north of the equator. Of the 55 least evangelized countries, 97% of their population lives in that geographical window. Let me tell you at least one of the results. A huge harvest of souls for Jesus Christ has exploded in those countries. More Muslims have come to Jesus in the last 20 years than in the previous 1,000 years. Now, that is a reason to rejoice. Church, look what God is doing. It's far bigger than our lives in Port Ludlow, but we are part of it. Let there be encouragement to your heart and soul this morning. God's on the move. Turn to each other and say, God's on the move. Shake each other's arms and say, God's on the move. Shake Jeannie's other arm, yeah. God's on the move. Lord, pour out your spirit of revival right here in this place. We talk about revival and we talk about being a small church, but what can God do? I've got to tell you, I see an Olympic Peninsula reached for Jesus. I see people with their hands raised, and I see people wanting to sing and rejoice and fall in love with Jesus Christ and be delivered, be forgiven, be set free. I see the blood of Jesus prevailing. I see healing poured out. Oh God, pour out your healing right here in this place. I see a church that says, oh Lord, let your river flow in us and move by your Spirit. Don't leave me out, oh God. I want to be involved in what you're doing today. And what you're doing today is bigger than what any generation has ever seen before. What any generation has ever seen before. Nobody's ever seen it being fulfilled like it's being fulfilled right in front of our eyes today.
Amen.
Well, what's going to happen, Pastor Kev? Am I going to get raptured or am I not? Some say no. Some say yes. Some say, whatever happens, I want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do, Lord. If you rapture, okay, I'm going. If you don't, okay, I'm staying. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be involved in what you're doing. I so much want to love you with my whole heart, my body, my soul. I want to look like you, talk like you, act like you, be like you. I don't want to live for what happened yesterday. Lord, I want to be involved in what you're doing right now today.
Amen.
Oh God, don't leave us out. How about you? Isn't that what's in your spirit today? There's a heart that beats in the body of Christ. And we talk about evangelists and pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles. Why? So God can work with us as the church, so we can look just like He wants us to look as His bride. Do what you want to do. And this hour is a time to be right with God. Let's stand. Elaine, would you come, please? Lord Jesus, we come to you today as hungry, thirsty people. We want to see you and we want to know you and we want to be just like you and we want to give you all room to do what you're doing. Open our eyes to see you and our ears to hear you. And Lord, help us to live in present truth and be established in what you're doing in this hour. Don't leave us out, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Church is sure a lot bigger than just going for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. We thank you, Lord. Make us what you want us to be. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be your hour to do so. He commands you to come. Come to Jesus. If you need healing in your body, the Lord wants to move on your behalf and allow there to be prayer on your behalf, anointing with oil and prayer if you need so. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, God's doing that. Ask Him to, we'd be honored to pray with you. Or sit in fellowship and there'll be refreshments in the back. And most of all, keep loving Jesus and keep preparing and keep growing. And we'll be back again next Sunday morning to celebrate the presence of the Lord together. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Father, bless your people now and send them forth with joy and rejoicing. Because this is the hour you show up as greater than ever. This is your hour. Fulfill your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord. It's a day to be right with God. Be released.